Masisilia, Masisilia, Ascend Paulo, and that was Jerusalem. Very, 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 very strange that a few hours before I leave for Jerusalem, I'm hearing a piece on Jerusalem. Hey, May Matilda, did you choose this knowing that I'm leaving for Jerusalem in a few hours?
Not really.
All right, I'll be singing this in Jerusalem in a few hours' time. But anyhow, the time is 20 minutes before the hour 5. Radio Veritas 576 AM is where you at, and it's Changing Gear with me, Father Brian. It's that station that gives you the good news and the good music for a change. I'm joined in studio by May Matilda Dube, who is a Catholic principal at Immaculata High School in Soweto. Does Catholic education still have value, ka 2017, May Matilda?
Yes, it does. If we cease to have those values, then we are not a Catholic school. We therefore have to ensure that we instill those values. For us to say this is a Catholic school.
What role does our Catholic ethos have to any child? What difference would it make if a child would go government school than going to a Catholic school? Would it make a difference if our schools were not there?
I think it would. We do need to have places, you know, because we are in this world, in this era, where things have gone so wrong. And therefore, if we do not have, you know, places like our Catholic schools where the ethos are instilled, the values, the morals, we need that. And because if we continue to have such places, then we are sure that at least, you know, and it can spill over, and therefore, we cannot really afford not to have.
What are some of the challenges that you are facing as Catholic educators, and even as people who are in leadership in our Catholic schools?
Yeah, we do have challenges. One of the challenges I'm picking up is family challenges. And at times you find a situation where you say to yourself, I think our parents, some of our parents, not all, of course, some of our parents have given up. And it's like they do not know what to do. And they therefore, you know, think, no, it is the school that will correct. And yet, we need to work together. Without working together, there is no way we can succeed. It is very important for parents to play a role as well in bringing up the kids. In instilling those values, because then it becomes easy.
No, but sometimes do you feel
yes.
And but hi, bo me Matilda will sort it out.
Yes, and
then when you act, then ba little.
Yeah, and then you know you come across a situation where a child. Let me just quote this incident. One child said to me last year. He was very naughty, and he said, "You know what, ma'am? Kohai."
Yes.
I think kohai in this particular case, they were trying to be, they were very strict. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
And he says, "Oh, it's about kohai. What's about njahawi bofile? Hawi bofula? It goes wild." Now we have those two kinds of learners. We have learners who are very afraid of their parents. But they're not afraid of the teachers. And therefore, when they come to school, they are something different. As such, we don't want to say if a child is out of line, it is because there are no rules and regulations at home. It's not necessarily that.
Mm.
But there are those situations where parents are very lax. Mm. You know, a simple thing they are not able to do.
Mm.
And therefore, they expect the school to do what they are not able to do. And therefore, it becomes very difficult for us to control a situation like that one.
Mm.
Because, as I say, we need to work together. So those are the challenges that we have where we find ourselves having to deal with learners where, for instance, there is no discipline at home.
Mm.
Or it is a dysfunctional family setup.
Mm.
One learner was saying to me a day before that she wants to go and stay with the father. And then I said, what is the problem here? She says, no, I used to stay with my father, but now I'm with my mother. But I no longer want to be with my mother because, you know, I am at my mother's home and there is no order there. This child was crying, crying because, you know, it's a situation that she just cannot handle.
Yeah.
Now you can imagine, now this is a child we have to deal with.
Mm. Who's expected to pass?
Yes.
Mm.
She's expected to pass and
excel in her studies and everything. Yeah.
Yes. You know, some of the challenges being parents who never bother to monitor the schoolwork. You know, you have such parents who never bother to monitor the schoolwork. And again, it becomes very difficult for us, you know, in that particular case because I always say to parents, I enjoy it when you phone me and say, ma'am, I am looking at my child's English book. I don't see enough work. Then that says to me, a parent is taking responsibility. You know, it's not just
through. Your teacher said this to my daughter. How dare she say this to my daughter? Or to my son.
And you have such cases. You do have such cases.
And what would you say to such parents? What would you say to such parents? Because there are some parents who treat their children like eggs.
Yes.
What would you say to them?
It all depends on the approach they coming with.
I get it, they put them in a tray.
Yes. Mm. And when you become hard, it's like you're cruel, you know. We go through that, you know, those stages where parents, together with their kids, they regard you as being a cruel person.
Mm.
And I would always say to a parent, you know what? I'm aware you love your child, but this is the child's future. Let us not play around with the future, yomntwana.
Wow.
You know, we shouldn't do that.
Because singayimosha.
Yes. If we have to be harsh on the child, it is not to say we don't love that child. But it is because we want this child to be a better person tomorrow.
Okay.
That is what we are looking at.
Mm.
So, and you know, in some cases, a parent would then see it. You know, a situation where you would say, no, mama, don't feel pity for your child because we are implementing this kind of a corrective measure.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, this is your child. And I sometimes say to them, you know what? What I like about a school situation is that it's a passing phase.
Yes.
I say that all the time. I say, this is a passing phase. For us, this child, we just have this child for 5 years.
Yeah.
But when, as a parent, you are stuck with your child.
Mm. Mm.
You are stuck forever with your child. Your child may, even when your child is 60 years old, he or she is still your child. You are stuck with the child.
Mm.
So let us prepare this child so that tomorrow this child can be in a position to be independent and be able to face life.
Alone. Not waiting for umama to come and rescue them and to come and uzomkhulumela, but to be an independent, functional adult in society.
Exactly.
That can contribute even to the economy of the country.
Yes.
And I think sometimes we love our children so much that we protect them even from the bruises that are very necessary from life, I think. Yeah. But anyway, let's move away from that. I would like us to get up close and personal with you. What are some of the highlights that have been in your career?
One of the highlights was when I obtained my PhD degree.
Yo, so libuali doctor dube.
Yes. Because as I say, when I left, I was at Fort Hare University, and I was encouraged to follow this particular line.
Yeah.
And I ended up at a university.
True, true.
As a lecturer. And at a university, you are expected
to do the PhD.
Yes, to read.
Yeah.
You cannot just be there and say, no, I have my degree. That's it. Yes, you can't.
Thank you, Park Stage.
Yes. So, and therefore, because of that expectation,
yes,
then I had to, I obtained my master's degree and then my PhD, which I never thought.
What was your research area at the time?
It's in the languages. My PhD thesis, it's on, it's a literature piece on autobiography.
Okay.
Did research on one of our best Sesotho writers.
All right.
By the name of Machabe Mofokeng.
Okay.
And the title, therefore, of the thesis is the autobiographical mode in the writing of Machabe Mofokeng. Because he didn't per se write autobiography. He wrote short stories. He also has a drama book. So the genre was around novel and drama. And therefore, I had to look into the autobiographical mode to say this person is actually writing about himself. But he didn't write it explicitly to say I'm writing an autobiography.
So is Dr. Matilda Dube a mother? Tell us about that.
Yes, me Matilda is a mother of two. They are now adults, I would say.
How old are they?
I hope they're not going to say, Mama, you're now revealing our age.
Don't worry.
One is 10, 30, 31. This is 17.
Yeah.
Yes, and the girl will turn 25 this year in April.
Wow, that's nice.
So
that's
I have those two. But I also have a stepson who is about 40 years.
Okay, all right.
So I normally say I have three.
As long as wakhulela ekhaya umntana
wasekhaya. Yeah. So those are the three that I have. They are grown ups.
So are you home alone now? Is that empty? Is the emptiness?
No, fortunately not yet.
Okay.
The girl is still there.
All right.
But I'm sure very soon she will be leaving.
Okay.
But she's still there, you know, currently she's still there.
If there was anything that you were to do differently in your life, now that you know what you know about the world, about God, about yourself, what would that be?
Do it now, not in the past.
Yeah, if you were to go back and then do it, what would you do?
Okay. If I were to go back,
yeah,
I don't think I would have gone for teaching.
Do you mind if I ask why?
I think we grew up at that time when we were not so much exposed. Opportunities were not as they are now. I'm a person, I think I'm more on
What would you do?
I would have gone for commerce line.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done. Yeah. I was very good at figures.
Okay. All right.
And as I say, unfortunately, I found myself in this.
Yeah, in a different pond altogether.
Yes. But I do have that edge more on
admin and leadership management. But you're actually doing that technically. It might be in a different setting within the sector of education, but that's what you're doing because I would like to believe that you no longer get into the classroom anymore.
No, I don't. Yes, I don't. Because if you get to the classroom, then I would love to get to the classroom.
Mm.
But the challenge there is that there's so much that needs you in office, and therefore learners would then suffer.
True.
Because it would mean most of the time you're not there, and
parents
would be coming to say,
syllabus is not finished, it's lacking behind.
I see that with my deputy. He still has teaching to do, and you know, last year he had that problem. My parents were complaining to say, I understand my teacher is not there, and we had to come up with other ways to make sure that she is in class more than the admin.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. So for that reason, yes, I think it would be very difficult, you know, to go. But one would love really to.
So you would have gone into commerce and.
Yeah, I think that's what I would have done if I was exposed, but like our kids are exposed today.
True. And I think as our parents, you didn't have those choices. I remember my own mother used to say, my mother was a nurse by profession, though, but she didn't practice.
Yeah.
But she would say, I never wanted to be a nurse, but she ended up being a nurse.
Yes.
And the only thing that even on my father could have been was a teacher. So those were the only things that were exposed and were available for them at that time.
I think that's what.
But on the same token, I also believe that it's not about, we all do 360 degrees turns in our lives and in our journeys.
Yeah.
And it's about you, I know, but I think you don't start, you don't end where you started.
Yeah.
A few, of course, a few who joined as a receptionist and will still die as a receptionist. But I think what we're learning from your life here is, Oguti, at some point, we have to take that leap.
That's true.
Because there are some people, they've been sitting on that front desk. They'll sit on that front desk for the next 33 years.
Oh.
You know, and you wonder, are they ever going to move out of this chair?
Yeah.
You know,
currently I've just completed it's a short course on assessors.
Mm.
It's an assessor course.
Yeah.
And the next one that I would like to do, it's moderator because I'm saying to myself, when I go on pension, I should do something.
True.
I cannot just stay at home and now I'm trying to prepare myself to say maybe, you know, in a relaxed atmosphere, this is something that I can do.
Consider.
You know, it's still related. It's still around education. But, you know, that is something like that to say, do something different. don't just stay in this one position and say to yourself,
I'll die in this chair.
Yes. You have your PhD and that's it. You
cannot
do something
and
else.
I think, and you wonder why we're celebrating you. It's because of things like that. You are a legend, and I'll tell you why. Because you've not stopped. Legends don't stop. They continue asking what's next.
Okay.
And that's why we're celebrating you now. It's a minute before 5 and Radio Veritas 576 AM is where you're at. I'm joined in studio with Mayor Dr. Matilda Dube, who is the head teacher, Utishumkulu, or principal of Immaculata High School in Soweto. Do not touch that.